Our scripture text for today is from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A few years ago, I was in a kind of a study group, a journey type group, and people were talking about how it seemed like so many people nowadays feel somewhat sense of isolation and alienation. So we started kind of talking about that a little bit, and we asked ourselves, what's the greater illusion, our kinship, our isolation, our connection, or our disconnection? Well, here we were in a room kind of working together. You could see that we would have been tilted toward the connection of things. And so then somebody else said, can we think of, come up with some really good proof for our kinship? And this is what somebody came up with. One woman blurted out, she said, belly buttons, one word. And, you know, we all kind of nodded our head. And I said, you know, that'll preach. A belly button is really good evidence. None of us invented ourselves. We come from someone who grew us out of her own flesh and blood, our co-inherence with another human being. Now, in the scripture that you've heard today from the Gospel of John, Jesus is all about the connection. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Now, abide in me and abide in you. And it's a really neat picture of a strong, living vine that gives us so much nourishment that we kind of grow over and around and through one another, making a canopy that we hope will bear much fruit. It is a good word of our kinship. You know, no branch is going to bear much fruit just isolated all by itself. It's about being a part of the canopy. So it shouldn't surprise us that God calls us to be a part of communities just like this, like First Church Waynesville, one body that is bigger than any one of us. I want to slow it down for just a minute. This is the grapevine image. I think sometimes we resist that. I had a friend some years ago, and he knew I was a minister, and he knew I knew he never went to church. And he said, preacher, I'm glad you do what you do, but you know, I'm kind of a lone ranger type of guy. It's really me and God, me and Jesus, and we're doing pretty well on our own. Thank you. That's okay. I mean, there's a lot of that in our culture, this sense of autonomy or kind of self-reliance. It's the cactus image rather than the grapevine image. And I don't think it's just about autonomy. I think maybe he or a lot of people, that's how they feel, isolated, lonely. It's like they've been given their own 1 square foot of sand and been given a prickly suit to keep other people with their prickly suits away from them. But Jesus doesn't give in to the cactus image. It's interesting to me from the get-go. Jesus showed us that he didn't mean to save the world all by himself. He wasn't going to try to be God alone. It's going to be bringing people together in a sense of community. When I gave myself to Christ, guess what? I got the rest of you with the bargain. And when you made that choice, you got the rest of us with him. You know, It's we belong to Christ. We belong to each other. Now, I know sometimes it's a real challenge. It's a nuisance to be a part of a diverse group like church. But Jesus said, this is where it's going to happen, our life together. This is where we're going to be changed and redeemed and transformed and forgiven. But then some people would say, okay, grapevine image, but how come sometimes the grapevine church looks a little withered? Let's just be honest about our numbers are declining. A lot of people are the next generation or just walking right past the church and saying not interested. You know, maybe some just see the church as moving in very narrow parameters of involvement in the world. Maybe they see the church putting boundaries around who's going to have full participation in our rights and ordinances. Here's the truth of the matter historically. Jesus' followers have sometimes been his worst enemies. And here's what happens, and it's happened through history. Jesus says, I'm the vine, but a lot of times we've just hacked away at that vine until there's not much of great meaning left. And we've domesticated the Jesus story in such a way that, it never flourishes. It never really bears much fruit. But here's the good news. I know I serve churches, and I know what I experience here at First Church Waynesville. We're people that are trying to relate. Did you hear the sermon title, The True Vine, to really wrestle with the full dimensions of what Jesus was about? Even then, we get it wrong sometimes. But here's what I see around here. There's some good fruit. There's the fruit of mutuality, of burden-bearing, and sometimes the giver, sometimes the receiver. Somebody falls down and somebody's going to be there to pick that person up. See people bringing their resources and their time together and collaborating. And what comes out of that? Pancake Day, where we open the doors to the entire community and say, come one, come all. How about the Friendship House? They're on all during the week, and especially on Saturday morning. It's not just about feeding and sheltering. Maybe most importantly, it's about giving hope, hospitality. And then there are the fruit of all these little groups to get together, to study together, to try to enlarge our sense of knowing God and being known by God. And some years ago, I was a part of a gathering, and I really wasn't looking forward to it. I knew it was going to be pretty contentious. And everybody kind of showed up, and a lot of people had their own agendas, and it was pretty loud at first. And then a woman got our attention. She said, excuse me, we didn't open with a prayer. It would be all right if I prayed for us. We all did. And I thought, uh-oh, I hope she's not going to weaponize prayer. She didn't. I don't remember the entire prayer, but there's one phrase that jumped out. She said, God, I want to thank you for every, and she really punch that word every. I want to thank you for every person in this room so I can know you more fully. God, like that. We come together, we grow over and around through one another and listen to each other, and we realize we need each other more than we dare to admit. We round each other out. So that's what the grapevine can look like. Helping, our serving, our learning. But there's the other piece of this. It's not just about our relationship with each other. It's our relationship with the vine. I'm the vine. You are branches. Maybe this is a reminder that being a Christian is not primarily about what we believe or think. That's important, but at the heart, being a Christian is about a transforming relationship, and that's what's being offered here. Now, those of you that have had Botany 101 know that branches' connection to the vine is a pretty strong thing. The branch isn't just connected by a little thin piece of outer bark, but by these vessels that move through the branch into the vine all the way into the ground. It's like Jesus is saying, through this relationship, our being is merged with the very ground of being. Its regenerative powers are positively astounding. Now, what's the word that Jesus uses? Our part in all this. It's the word abide. That's a whole word. If you go to lunch at Boojum's today, I don't expect to hear anybody in the room throwing that word around. You know, not long ago, around a group of teenagers, I used the word courting. And they looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language. Abide. Maybe a whole word. But it's a good word. It's a strong word. It means to stay with. To stay close by. To hang in there with. To abide somewhere. What does that mean? It means to live there. You become familiar with your surroundings. When you pull into the driveway, you don't wonder, well, where's the garage? And you don't have to consult the blueprint to find out where the kitchen is. To abide is to be at home. What does it say in 1 John? It says, we take up permanent residence in a life of love and truth. Now, we're not talking about a roadside park. We're not talking about a motel six-room that we occasionally visit. We're talking about a preferred dwelling place. It's where we not only rest, but we find our bearing, our calling, our purpose. Now, if the house thing doesn't do much for you, just go back to the branch image. Does the branch ever let loose a divine? Not unless it wants to take on the risk of death. Does the branch ever stop feeding? No. It's pulling in those nutrients 24 hours a day. Could we say a branch is vine dependent? Yeah, I think so. There's another word, though, in this scripture. It's a little more, it's another A word. It's a little more foreboding and dark. It's the word apart. And right here, Jesus isn't talking about the people who aren't here. He's talking about us, people who look and talk like they're branches of the vine. He says it's possible to fall away. Now, I know some of you that are listening here today, you're good gardeners. It's not going to be long until you're going to see your perennials coming through the ground, and you're going to have some nice buds and blossoms, and you're going to do a little snipping. You're going to go down the basement. You're going to find a clay pot, and there you're going to have a nice little floral arrangement. But then a few days later, you're going to come out, and you're going to see that those flowers have gone to the great flower bed in the sky. Bent, wilted, sticky with death. Elton Trueblood, the great Quaker writer and thinker, said we live in a cut flower world. We sever ourselves from the source of life, and we still expect to flourish. For the branch to be cut away from the vine. It can happen. It's usually not real dramatic. It's not something where overnight you get up and you take the picture of Jesus off the wall and you say, turning in the keys, I'm out of it now. It's usually very slow, very subtle. Something slips away. Jesus later in the passage uses the word friend. We're friends with each other and friends with him. Now think about a friendship. Some of you have had some wonderful friendships. You know, friendships that represent solidarity and conviviality and best kind of friendship. You know, every time you meet on equal terms. And something may come of the meeting, something may not. That's not what matters. It's just being together. The meeting itself is what matters. But then, you know how it is. Time goes by, and we have this sense of priority. This is really important. And just moves on down the line. We just go where the pressure is felt. And that good friend, well, now, it's every once in a while you get a card at Christmas. Your good friend lives in Atlanta, and last time you were there, you didn't even call to say, let's get together. Something just slowly slips away, apart. Let's get back to the good word. The word is full of promise and possibility. The word abide It is a good word. It's a strong word. It's got some muscle to it. Because abide doesn't mean just something momentary. It means to stay in there. How do we do that? We do that through time. What we're doing right now, weekly worship. We do it through our praying, our serving. Do it through our reading. It takes a lot of time to really master the life energy of the vine. Why? Because Jesus, my goodness, Jesus is large, mysterious. He dislodges and he challenges a lot of our normal sensibilities. So it takes some time. But it's all about connection. There's this great story that comes from Lawrence of Arabia. As you know, he had these unbelievable friendships with the Arab people, and particularly with Arab chieftains. And so there came this time they were having the Paris Peace Conference, and he took some of the chieftains with them. And boy, they loved Paris. They loved the monuments. They loved the museums. And he so respected their wisdom. I mean, these were men that had carved out some kind of meaningful existence in an inhospitable kind of desert environment, but they were so just mesmerized by some of the just kind of gadgets and makeups of modernity. And particularly, this is the thing that really caught their attention, the water faucet in their hotel room. All they had to do was go on just one little twist, and water would come out and keep coming out. I mean, these were Arab chieftains who for years had looked for oases, found it, and fought to hold on to it. Here they had this unending supply of water. So this is what happens. True story. They're getting ready to leave. He can't find them downstairs in the lobby. He said, get ready to meet me there. He goes up. And they were in the bathroom, and they had borrowed from the maintenance staff a wrench. And they are loosening, and so they can have this faucet in their hands. And they look at it, thinking it's a magic faucet. And Lawrence of Arabia had to say to them, look, this is not a magic faucet. This is connected to, oh my goodness, miles of piping. It goes all the way down to deep reservoirs. The faucet, all by itself, useless. Maybe we're even more credulous in our Christian lives. Sometimes, you know, we smirk at the chieftains expecting water from unattached faucets. And maybe we expect the life-giving energy to flow into our lives when all along the branches are apart. Unattached. But here's the good news. We all have it in us, the power to stay connected, to abide. You don't have to have any advanced degrees. You don't have to have any special equipment. Abide in me and I in you. When you and I really believe that, we have nothing to fear, not even the pruning. Because we belong to the vine that cannot be killed. We're connected not by just a little thin, fragile thread, but all the way down to the ground of our being. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.